Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Hello, hello, welcome to Zed Games. This is Australia's premier video game radio program. My name is Razor and I'm joined in the studio right now by Jody McGregor.
Hi, Ray.
And also Alana Pierce.
Hello.
Coming up on the program, we'll be hearing about Towncraft, which is an iPad game, and Rise of the Triad, which is a reimagining of an old 1994 first-person shooter game from the Doom era. But let's kick this episode of Zed Games off, as usual, with the week's news headlines. Please, Jody.
This is Zed Games News, bringing you gaming news headlines from Australia and around the world.
Saints Row 4 has finally been classified for release in Australia. The game had been refused classification by the Australian Classification Board twice, which would have made it illegal to sell in Australia. The first time, the reason given was due to the inclusion of an alien anal probe weapon. The second was due to the use of drugs as an incentive. Deep Silver, the makers of the title, most recently submitted an edited version of the game which removed the 20-minute mission featuring the drug use. This version was approved for Australian release and given an MA 15+ rating. Saints Row 4 will be available from the 23rd of August. On the subject of classification, a Naughty Dog spokesperson revealed that The Last of Us was censored in some territories, including Australia.
It's weird that we didn't know that beforehand, actually.
Apparently it was just the multiplayer version that was censored here and in Europe, so nobody noticed.
Wow.
Because everybody played the single player, which was exactly the same.
And yeah.
Just as gory here as it was everywhere else.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, that is odd, though.
Yeah. It's probably equally odd that Saints Row 4 got MA-15 after all of that.
Yeah, well...
And still has the alien probe in it.
Well, no, it doesn't, because that's DLC.
It's DLC.
Which they presumably won't release here.
Yeah, and I did hear that we actually can't play co-op with people overseas either.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So we're kind of... It sucks for you if you have international friends.
Yeah, and I'm also puzzled by the fact that just taking out that one 20-minute section of the game, it dropped an entire rating. Like, it's not R18+, as expected. It's MA15+. So that just one instance of something in the game could bring it from MA15+ to refuse classification. It doesn't seem logical to me.
Well, that's how the rules work. It's not really about a grading system for these things. It's just, are they there or not? Mm. So weirdly, that means that GTA 5 is an R-rated game, while Saints Row, after all of this controversy, is just MA15+. A Kickstarter project to create a fan-made web series starring the heroes of Final Fantasy VII has been delayed by Square Enix, who own the intellectual property of the franchise. The Kickstarter page for Final Fantasy VII, the web series, was launched on July 22nd with a target of $400,000 in order to produce 6 episodes. Initially, the project page was taken down and replaced with a notice stating the project was an infringement of copyright. Since then, the group has issued a statement saying that they are negotiating with Square Enix and that there is a chance that the project could continue.
I totally understand that Square Enix has to protect their copyright and their intellectual properties. I mean, that's just a part of it. If they lose that, they've lost everything. It kind of sucks that they have to just demolish these tiny little fan projects. But I think the problem is that they're asking for money. They're asking for $400,000. Mm. And when there's money involved, all of a sudden it becomes an issue.
Square Enix deserve to profit off of that, you'd think, because it is their intellectual property.
Yeah, there's a Fallout fan movie made recently that is apparently really good. I haven't seen it, but I've seen like still
there's
photos of it.
Shorts at PAX for that.
Yeah, it looks really professionally done. Yeah. And it's just done by fans with basically no money.
And that's it for the news. Coming up, Alana's going to be talking all about the iPad title Towncraft.
Listening to Zed Games, heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
So, welcome back to Zed Games. Alana, you have been playing an Australian game called Towncraft on the iPad.
I have. It's currently only on iPad. It's not available on iPhone yet either, and it's set up to be eventually available on Android, but it's not at this point. I'll just start off how you start the game. So you play as a tiny little character. There's trees everywhere, there's rocks, there's grass, there's one road, and there's a bunch of water. So it really is like the immediate thing that you would think of is that it's quite similar to Minecraft. So you have to start off by punching down trees, as any good game starts, right?
Right, of course.
You, you punch down a bunch of trees and collect things to craft. So your ultimate goal is to sort of get a house or get a crafting table or build stuff out of the planks of wood that you'll collect to collect other wood faster or to start mining rocks. And then through your resources, you can build things like better pickaxes or, you know, stuff like that. And then once you've got that kind of stuff, you'll eventually have the option to build things that can make things or plant things to grow for resources. And then you use money to sell, or sorry, you use these things that you get to sell them to traders who will walk on the one road that is in the game, and you sell them to them to get money. Once you get money, you can then hire people to work in your town. So you can hire a farmer, a fisherman, you can hire people to basically do stuff. And as you hire more people, they will set up like a house, or you can build them a house with a bed, and basically things just keep growing and growing and growing until eventually your town sort of levels up. It gives you like names. I think the first one is when you have one building, it's called a shack, and then in the end you can get like a full city. And as you start getting more money, you can basically, in the end of it, like, I mean, you could have a couple of taverns, which will then attract nobles into your town, and you'll pretty much just be rich as hell and build pretty much whatever you want. So it starts off kind of lonely and simplistic like Minecraft. So I keep saying Minecraft because it is quite blocky, but it's not first person like Minecraft is. And the textures are a bit better. Like, I was told the actual tree textures are from crumpled paper. So they just grabbed paper, crumpled it, and then put it on the tree, so then like dyed it a different color, and the trees don't all look the same or anything like that. So there is actually a fair bit of variety, and everything really just looks really peaceful but still very cartoony and happy.
So there aren't
happy.
Any monsters like the zombies in Minecraft? You just
no.
You build safely.
Yeah, nothing will kill you, because the biggest threat in the game is sort of running out of money and having a collapse, quite like SimCity.
Right.
Other than that, there are this little bunny that can come and eat your crops, and it's a really adorable bunny, but it's really the only physical enemy in the game. And I kind of like the contrast that it's like this cute little thing that you're like, oh, and then it just messes up your entire economy.
Can you kill the bunny?
I don't believe so. I actually haven't tried because I'm not a horrible person.
Of course, Razor went there straight away. Can you kill the bunny? Can you?
That would be the first thing I would try to do.
No, you can fence off your crops so the bunny has nowhere to go, but I'm pretty sure you can't kill it, but it's
will it
fast.
Will it starve to death in its cage?
No, you don't cage it. You cage your crops.
Oh, whoops.
What?
Sorry.
That would be horrible. You're a terrible person.
Yeah, maybe this isn't the right game for me. I need to stick to shooting games.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I'll keep you away from bunnies.
So Minecraft, which is the game that you're mostly comparing this game to, which is Towncraft. Obviously, there are similarities within the title
the
as well.
The crafting thing.
Once you get past the survival part of it, there's a big creative element where you build structures, or you can just go to town making things.
That's pretty quick, actually. A lot faster than it would happen in Minecraft as well, whereas Minecraft, you know, you'll spend hours mining resources. In Towncraft, you spend a few hours mining resources and then you build up an economy and then you hire other people to do things for you. So you can choose exactly what someone will do when you hire them. So you can choose what their skills will get you. So say if you hire them to be a miner, you're going to get more stone, which can build things made out of stone, or a furnace so that you can cook things, you can make pies. You know, there's a lot of actually quite elaborate recipes that you can make. And the traders who you need to get money from will only accept finished goods. So you can't sell them bits of stone. They'll be like, what? I don't know. What? So you have to like sell them a pie or, you know, some grapes or something that you've actually produced. So it's, while it is really, really cool to build your town and to see it all come together and grow, it becomes a lot like SimCity, except that while you're controlling an entire town, it's like a first-person SimCity, really. So you actually are the mayor of this town because you founded it, and it's just more personal, I guess. So it very quickly strays away from Minecraft, and it definitely doesn't even parallel it in terms of exploration because the map is actually very, very small. I'm sure they'll end up making it a bit bigger, but it's pretty much tiny. You could fill the entire town with your city. And aside from that, yeah, Minecraft, you get to build out of blocks. This, it's more structured. So you do get to choose where your walls go or the shape of things that you want to build, but you don't just get to put stuff everywhere all over the screen. And
so you can't just build a huge statue of yourself or
Not that I've found, no, I don't think so. But okay. You can build a lot of really cool stuff. They've been very creative with it. Like, you can build windmills, you can build ships, you can build pretty much most things that you would think would show up in a town, like a medieval town. And yeah, it is quite creative.
We're talking about Towncraft for the iPad, and you're listening to Zed Games. This is Zed Games, and Alana's still talking about Towncraft for the iPad.
The lovely Towncraft. So as said before, Towncraft is basically Minecraft turned Sims turned SimCity. And overall, it's a really peaceful game. So the idea they had in mind when they made this game was that you weren't going to be stressed, you weren't going to feel confronted. You were going to build this thing up and sort of more be proud of it or motivated by it. It's like a lot like the kind of reward system that people would get from The Sims or Farmville, is the kind of you do something small and then slowly watch it grow, and you have these ideas in your head for where you want things to continue, and seeing that happen is sort of more your sense of accomplishment. But it is quite easy to forget that you have people to pay wages to, and you'll just run out of money and people just leave. You don't even get like a second chance. They're just like, I'm gone. And you're like, well, okay, bye. And you'll run out of half of your town if you can't pay them, obviously. So that can really collapse things. But it's not hard to build things back up. So I think this is sort of a Sunday afternoon game where you're just having some tea. You just finished reading a book. And you're chilling out and playing Towncraft. And it is really, really enjoyable. You could play it for a really long time, pretty much until you finished your map, which would be the thing that would stop you. But yeah, as I said before, I do imagine that they're going to expand the map and make it bigger or add extra things in. So you could play it for months on end and you'd still really enjoy it. But if you're a very, very fast-paced gamer, you're going to run out of space kind of quickly. There are a couple of things that I noticed that are flaws in it. One thing is sort of hard to explain, but you open up a certain part of the menu and you won't be able to scroll in a different direction. So it can be limiting in weird ways. So there's a few little bugs that sort of feel like they did it on purpose, but then after talking to them, they're like, no, we didn't actually mean to do that. And you're like, well, that's really annoying. And they're like, yeah, we're trying to fix it. And you're like, good, because that kind of sucks. Other things are like to break down a tree, you just have to tap it repeatedly. You can't hold down tap, which isn't much of an issue, and none of the flaws in it really are, but it's still something that's like, I wish I could just hold down that tap button instead of like cramming my finger onto my iPad.
That's kind of a small thing that turns into a big thing just because of the amount
it's
of repetition.
Regular. Yeah. So it does get annoying. And I mean, to get through to something that you want, you might have to mine down a bunch of trees. You can't just weave your way through them. You actually have to take them all down. So sometimes you'll be tapping down like 12 trees at once, like repeatedly tapping over and over and over again before you actually get to where you want to go. So it was never infuriating or frustrating, but it would be nice if it weren't there.
So Towncraft is available right now for the iPad only, not
yes,
iOS
I think it's
or Android.
$5.49. My iPad just died, but I'm pretty sure it's $5.49 or around $5.
Yep.
And all of the reviews except for one, there was one review that I saw on the iOS app that said someone was having issues with it crashing repeatedly. You also have to have iOS 6, so I had to update to get it.
I see.
Everything else is pretty much 5 out of 5. Yeah.
Yep. So check that out. It sounds pretty good, actually. I wish I had an iPad. I don't, but it definitely sounds up my alley. I mean,
definitely worth playing.
SimCity and Minecraft.
Yeah.
It just sounds great to me. You're listening to Zed Games. Next up, we're going to be talking about Rise of the Triad.
You are listening to Zed Games, heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Talk about now Rise of the Triad, which is actually a reimagining of an old 1994 first-person shooter game, Jody?
Yeah, that's right. 1994, the same year as Doom came out, the original version of Rise of the Triad came out within a couple of weeks of it. And although it wasn't as popular, it was super fun and really influential. It was originally planned as a sequel to Wolfenstein. The villains were supposed to be Nazis originally, and basically all they did was change the swastikas to triangles and call them the Triad. But otherwise, it is a lot like a Wolfenstein kind of game, only with sort of improvements on the original Wolfenstein.
And triangles.
Yeah, triangles all over the place.
Okay, here's where I'm coming from. I did play a bunch of those sort of games, like those shareware discs that were floating around back then. I never played the actual Rise of the Triad game, but I did play Doom 1, Doom 2.
And so did you ever play Wolfenstein 3D, the Wolfenstein, granddaddy of first-person shooters?
Yeah, that one of the games that had a profound impact on me because I was only 12, and seeing Hitler decay into like a big red puff of mist was kind of traumatizing for me. But I had fun all the whole time.
Well, Rise of the Triad would have been even more traumatizing if you played it. It was the first game ever released with parental controls, the first game with a password on that you could set on the highest level of gore, because this was a game where when you shoot people, they just explode into showers of chunks. And sometimes, if you're really lucky, their eyeballs would fly out, hit the screen, and then just slowly slide down your screen, which was the best thing ever when I was like 14.
I would have been one when that came out, so I'm glad I didn't play it. I just like making you guys feel old.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
So Wolfenstein, Doom, and Rise of the Triad are seen as the founding figures of the first-person shooter genre, actually. I think Wolfenstein may have been the first.
Yes, it was.
Yes. It was a different world back then. Now it's a very refined world in which military shooters seem to be dominating. But back then, there was more of a kind of a fantasy flavor. People were trying different things.
It's actually interesting that the first ones that came out, for example, like Wolfenstein and Doom, they do have real fantasy themes, whereas now it is all army-based or military-based. Like in Doom, you're going to a portal that goes to Mars, it's hell, and you know, there's demons everywhere and invisible walls, and now we've got bros.
Yeah, just wall to wall.
And dogs.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Although Rise of the Triad did have dogs, it's very video gamey in a way that, like, those military shooters are. So there are power-ups everywhere. Mm. One of the power-ups is God mode that turns you into a god who shoots lightning. And there's also dog mode, which was a power-up that turned you into a dog for a limited amount of time. And you could run around barking at people and, like, biting bad guys.
Where's this creativity now? Where's
it gone? It's been missed.
It's all in Bioshock, I think. They just chuck it all into the Bioshock franchise.
Yeah, so let's get on to this particular remake of Rise of the Triad for the PC. It's a bit of a throwback to those old-school 90s FPS games, isn't it?
Yeah, Jim? Totally. In a lot of ways, it will seem really weird if you've grown up playing games like Call of Duty. So everybody, all of the player characters move really fast because that was just the way things were. You always moved faster than the enemy, so you just careened around like a pinball at super fast speed. There's no limits on how many bullets you have. All of your machine gun, your pistols, you just hold down the button and keep shooting forever. Although there is a limit on, like, bazooka ammunition. But bullets, who cares?
So where does the difficulty lie?
The difficulty is in the fact that enemies can shoot you from anywhere they can see you. There's no actual idea of, like, range or AI. The enemies just exist to attack you as soon as they possibly can. There's instant death traps that are really over the top and ridiculous, like these huge spinning things with blades and spikes that shoot up out of the ground or out of the ceiling. These, like, they look like something out of Indiana Jones movies, and they are everywhere. And there's lava, and sometimes the enemies have missile launchers, which will just hit you and you die.
Do they, because I remember, like, older games were way harder than games now. So are the enemies stronger, or do they have, like, higher defense or higher attack? Or
no, there's just lots of them.
They're just regular?
They kind of explode after a couple of bullets.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also no hit locations. There's no headshots because there never was in those old games. Mm. You just shoot them anywhere and then they fall in half in a...
When you shot them in the shoulder?
Yeah, they just immediately fall into, like, bursting lumps of flesh.
That's awesome.
We're talking about Rise of the Triad for PC and you're listening to Zed Games. We'll continue talking about it when we return.
You're still listening to Zed Games, and we are still talking about video games. We have been talking.
Fancy that.
About the recent remake of Rise of the Triad, which is a very sort of nostalgic remake that keeps a lot of stuff from the original game. For starters, if you get shot and you want to get your health back, you just have to eat some food that is lying around on the ground.
Does it
just
have
porridge.
That terrible chewing sound effect that they used to have?
No, it doesn't have the chewing, but it does have burping.
Oh, nice.
And if you eat like a whole bunch of this porridge that's lying around all at once, then you also fart. So that's just your reminder of how immature like games in the 1990s were.
So what actually makes this different from the original version?
Ooh, well, it's been updated graphically, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot of platforming action, which you don't see in first-person shooters anymore.
And that was something that wasn't as much in the original. The original didn't even have a jump button. That's how old it was. But the remake has a jump button and a lot of leaping from moving platform to moving platform, often over pits, which you will die if you fall in. And I hate having to jump precisely in first-person games. Yep. When you can't see your own feet and you have to jump on a tiny moving thing from another tiny moving thing, that drives me nuts.
I'm terrible even when it's third-person. Jumping is not great. So in this, the graphics you said were better. Are they modern?
No.
Or just better?
Still crap. Now, if you've played the original Rise of the Triad, then this game will probably tickle your nostalgia bone a little bit, and I could recommend it to you. However, I'd like to talk about the actual quality of the game now. If I'm critically evaluating it, I have to say that this is not a good game. It's hard to know which of these have been carried over as homage and which of these are just limitations on the developer's part. There are some bugs and glitches.
Yeah, I got stuck on bits of furniture and corners a lot.
Pretty much every time you're attacked, you won't know where the guy is. You'll just be taking damage, and it'll take you a few seconds to swing around and find out where it is.
Sometimes longer.
It doesn't help
that... So
there's
no indicator from where you're being attacked from, like the
little
red thing?
There is, but I had a bit of trouble with that. I found it wasn't always accurate.
Okay. Yeah, it's really vague.
Yeah.
And because the enemies are just dudes in brown outfits...
On brown backgrounds.
Yeah, it's really drab. So you... Like a guy in a brown shirt standing next to a brown sandbag in front of a brown wall who is on the other side of the level is really hard to see when he's shooting you and your screen is then looking like it's covered in strawberry jam every time you get hit. Just this red blur all over it.
Yeah, okay.
That's quite annoying.
So it's not very visually impressive?
No.
Okay.
Like, not just because the graphics look old, but because aesthetically...
It's bleak.
The biggest problem that I had with it, although I was annoyed by those things you were annoyed by, is that it has a checkpoint system and one that's quite badly implemented. The checkpoints are really far apart. So if you die from falling into the lava, which happens to me a lot, or because you just get shot by somebody you can't even see, or you get stuck on an object and have to, you know, missile yourself, then you get pushed back really far. And I just find that
frustrating.
Yeah. Especially because the original had a save anywhere feature. The original version, you just hit F6 and it would save wherever you wanted. And so to bring back so much of the stuff from the original and then modernize it with the checkpoints seems like a weird decision. When those of us who played games in the old days complain about modern games, that's one of the first things we complain about.
Nobody likes checkpoints.
Nobody likes them.
Yeah, that actually stopped me from... continuing on a couple of occasions, because when I died and I got taken back so far, I thought, oh, I don't want to play this section again. So I quit the game and waited for later. So yeah, that's definitely a huge flaw.
Like Ray, I had that same experience where you get annoyed by going all the way back to a start of a level and then just stop playing. There are three episodes and I'm near the end of the second one and I've lost the desire to keep playing.
Yep.
What I did was I reinstalled the original and I just played that instead. Like, it's, you can get it off GOG.com for $6.
There is a multiplayer component that we haven't discussed. I haven't actually had a go, so we can't really talk about it, but that could be cool. I remember like playing multiplayer Doom back in the day and that was fun.
So the original version didn't have that?
It did. It was the first game to have a Capture the Flag multiplayer mode. But I never played the original's multiplayer because I had no friends.
Yay!
So that's Rise of the Triad, which is available for the PC via Steam.
Steam and GOG.com.
And GOG.com. It's about $15. So
is it a worthwhile remake? Would be the last question.
Look, if you played the original game and liked it, or if you have fond memories of the first-person shooter craze from the mid-90s, I would say it's definitely worth checking out. If that's not you... do not play this game because you will hate it.
Yeah, I think the only people this will really appeal to are the people who really, really hate everything about modern-day shooters like Call of Duty and Battlefield and who just complain about them on the internet all the time. Those guys, that's the audience for
that's
this.
That's the target market.
Yeah, angry internet men. Love it.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Zed Games. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want more information about the show, why don't you head to our Facebook, facebook.com/zedgamesau. But we'll catch you next week. We'll leave you now with one last track.
This is by Lizzie Trulli. It's one of the songs that was announced as being on the soundtrack to Saints Row 4. You'll be able to listen to this on the radio. Music they've picked for the next Saints Row sounds really good. This is from the Generation X station, which is just all rock and is all awesome. And the K-Rhyme station is all hip-hop. It's all like Kendrick Lamar and LP and Atmosphere. I will listen to the hell out of that.
Cool. We'll catch you next week.
This is it. If I can, then I break. This is it. Like an Egyptian red. This is it. This is it.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zedgamesau.net. That's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zedgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.